The Napoleonic Era. The return of Napoleon's ashes to France. Napoleon arrives on La Belle Poulet. Prince de Joinville took the tiller, and Captain Guyot stations himself on the bows, while Abbe Coquereau, Bertrand, Marchand, Gargaud, and Emmanuel Las Casas stood around the sarcophagus in the same places that they had occupied in the procession. Then the 20 rowers leaned into their oars, and nothing was heard except the sound of the blades striking the water slowly and solemnly, and the hushed music playing on the quay. Suddenly the batteries on shore began firing again, followed by those on the ships, in honor of the outlaw returning to his homeland. The wonderstruck crowds tried to imprint these last images on their memory. The dinghies of La Favorite were lighting the way, and those of La Belle Poulet acted as escorts on either side of the large launch, loaded almost to the sinking point, while those of the Oreste made up the rear, their sailors bareheaded and with crepe bands on their arms. A second salute from the French rent the air, then a third, leaving a cloud of gunpowder reddening in the rays of the setting sun. The sailors of La Belle Poulet stood motionless in the yards, drums rolling, hats in hand, and a guard of honor of 60 men, commanded by the oldest lieutenant, Pinaros, stood with their arms reversed while the coffin passed between the two ranks of officers, now being carried by Frenchmen. Although it was dark, the Abbe Coquereau read the prayers of intercession for the dead by the light of lanterns hanging from the forecastle, which had been arranged as a chapel and decorated with flags and fasces. Then, dropping with exhaustion, he prepared to watch beside the corpse till dawn, with four sentries and an officer. La Belle Poulet had kept all her flags flying, and the morning flag embroidered at St. Helena floated from the mast. Silence fell at last, and the tropical night spread its stars over the hero's mortal remains. The next day, which was a Friday, a funeral mass was held on La Belle Poulet, and at 8 o'clock, La Favorite and L'Oreste set their yards to sail. The emperor's companions took their places round the bier, while Lieutenant Pinaros arranged his guard of honor on each side. At the foot was Joinville, Rohan Chabot, the ship's captains, staff officers, Solomon, the French consul, and all the sailors of the division. The cannon fired a salute at the moment when Coquereau was intoning the mass for the dead, and La Favorite and L'Oreste fired minute guns. At the elevation of the host, the drum rolled and thousands of men fell on their knees. All those present, beginning with Louis-Philippe's son, joined in the prayers for the dead, and then the coffin was taken down into the mortuary chapel between decks. There it would remain until the arrival in France. Now, the Prince de Joinville wanted to set sail at once, but Rohan Chabot and Commissioner Chedeville of La Belle Poulet still had to draw up the official report with Captain Alexander, a proceeding which lasted all day on the 17th and part of the night. All this trouble deserved payment, and Alexander was presented with a gold snuff box set with diamonds and a portrait of Louis-Philippe. Colonel Trelawney received a richly inlaid sporting rifle. The workman who carried out the exhumation, 200 pounds, and the poor of the island, 300 pounds. Miss Gideon, who had organized the embroidery of the satin flag, nearly fainted with joy on receiving a beautifully engraved bracelet. All those who had taken part in the ceremonies were given a silver or a bronze medal. One side held the inscription, quote, "Law of June 10th, 1840, directing that the mortal remains of the Emperor Napoleon be moved from the island of St. Helena to the Church of the Invalides in Paris, in a tomb built at the expense of the state, the expedition commanded by His Royal Highness the Prince de Joinville," end of quote. On Sunday the 18th, at 8 o'clock, the ships were all under sail, making to the north-northwest. When they were about 2 miles from St. Helena, the Oreste turned past astern of La Belle Poulet, firing a salute of 5 guns before heading west towards Buenos Aires. The onlookers still collected at Jamestown Quay heard La Favorite return the salute and then saw the sails fade into the horizon. The secret mausoleum returned to its previous silence. The body of the man that they had treated as a pariah now traveled home in a sextuple coffin for his apotheosis of rediscovery. Now, I would point out that the Belle Poulet also carried the flagstones which covered the top of the tomb, and they had basically been forgotten and were just laying around in the arsenal at Cherbourg. Well, they're eventually moved to the Invalides and with other relics from St. Helena. But now they are over a makeshift tomb, a replica tomb, in the courtyard of the Invalides. You can't get to it, but you can see where it is. And they have some of the descendants of the willow trees and some other items, including the grate that was around that hits out there. And you can see that as well. So Napoleon is on his way home. And now we'll be looking at some of the events that take place on the journey, and then the final gigantic party in France when he returns on December the 5th, 1840. Now, the sources for this: Napoleon's Last Journey by Martineau, Funeral de l'Empereur Napoléon by Lange, Le Culte de Napoléon by Louis Bourbeton, and The Second Funeral of Napoleon by Thackeray. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.